games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Oh, welcome into the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside the head football coach. See, I had to scribble that out. Former head coach now. Head football coach at Milwaukee Tech, Tom Swiddle. Coach, it's been a month. It's good to see you.
Great to see you too, Mike.
How you been?
I've been really good. How about you?
Good. You're getting in the swing of it, man. It's now you start thinking it's, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks away from figuring all this stuff out.
It's right down the road.
Have you been, you've had a meeting, I'm sure, with some of the kids. And kids getting in the weight room?
We started workouts, summer workouts this week. Tech is out of school already, so we started summer workouts this week. And workouts have been a little sparse.
Yeah.
We've got some building to do, Mike.
But you know what, Tom? Look, we talked about this a month ago. Your eyes are wide open.
Right.
You know exactly what you're walking into. And I, you know what? You know how much I respect that you're doing this. And you'll get it going. It's gonna, you don't have as much patience as some people, right?
Well, actually, I've been very patient. And
hold on.
Yes.
So far.
Yes. Yes.
Well, how long
truly? You know, it's just a different situation. You know, like if, you know, like at Brookfield East, if we had workouts at 10 in the morning, the kids got up at 20 to 10. They rolled out of bed. They got something to eat. They jumped in their cars and drove 5 minutes to school. That's not how it works at Tech or probably any place in the city. So you have to understand that, you know, there are reasons why it's much harder for a kid to get involved in a summer program at Tech than it would be at Wauwatosa East or Brookfield East.
Right. Do you know, I coached, when I was back coaching grade school basketball, I coached at Christ King. And if we practice at 7 o'clock, at 6:45, the minivans would pull up.
Yeah.
Kids would get out with their ski jackets, and they'd go from a warm car to a warm gym. And when practice would be over at 8:30, 7:45, the minivans would pull up.
Right.
Kids would jump.
I have a young man that comes to workouts. He lives on 89th and Appleton.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, 2 or 3 city buses to get there.
Yep.
You know, and to get home.
And then I went to coach at Resurrection Catholic Academy on 51st and Villar. And kids were always late for practice. Sometimes I'd drive a bunch of kids home, and it was a different animal. We coaching at Martin Luther, I had a young man that's just graduating now. He lived on Brown Deer Road and went to 76th and Grange.
Yeah.
And that was 3 buses. He had to catch a bus at 5:45 to get to school by 8 o'clock. And he was always on time, wasn't late, showed up at practices all the time. But the commitment is incredible.
Right.
It's incredible.
And I realize we have to build really a football culture there. It doesn't exist right now. And I am being patient, and I do know the hurdles that my players at Tech have to do things, like I said, that I've taken for granted for a lot of years.
But you know what? The other part that I see is look, they've got to be willing to make the effort too. You know, the kids have to. Yeah, I understand you have to take 2 buses, but you know what? If you want to be part of this program, you got to get used to that. We got to get going. So let me run down today's show. Doug Sarver, WFCA president, is in studio. We're going to spend a couple of segments with him. We're then going to talk to Dale Comro from Johnston's. They've been a part of what you guys do for a long time. They've been a part of, you know, high school athletics in the state of Wisconsin for, you know, as long as I can remember. We'll talk to Dale about some of the things they're doing with some awards and being part of the WFCA. And then Matt Walker, the head football coach at UW-River Falls, will join us at 11 o'clock. 11:30, Travis Wilson with sports.net. We're gonna finish up on the combine stuff.
Yeah.
Some kids that really made a name for themselves. And we'll talk to Travis about a number of things in the world of high school football. But before that, Doug Sarver, WFCA president. Man, you're getting to be a regular here, brother. How you been?
I'm good. Yourself?
Man, you're like my co-host. You're my co-host. How's that?
Co-host.
There you go. No, only co-co. It's good to see you. We were going to talk with Doug about football-only conferences, but before we do that, Doug, the WFCA, a lot of stuff going on. This is, believe it or not, this is a busy time for you guys.
Yeah, this summer we have the All-Star Game coming up soon, and Tom will have a couple shows on that. That's July 21st in Oshkosh.
But you had the Combine already, and you had certainly the Coaches Clinic, which is the big thing, and that thing is done. So it's not like once the high school football season's over, you guys then get on the hammock for a while.
Right. You know, we've got something going pretty much all year long.
That's good. With the All-Star Game coming up, where does that sit right now? Yeah, teams have been selected, correct? And when do they start getting together as a team? And coaches have been selected, staffs are set?
Staffs are set, and the coaches have been meeting all along. They're in their fundraising portion of the process right now,
okay.
Just finishing that up for children's hospitals.
Right.
And then in July, they'll report to the University of Oshkosh or the University of Whitewater, depending on what site they're at. And I think it's July 14th.
The fundraising part of this is so important because it's a football game at the end of the day, but it is a fundraiser, and it's an important fundraiser for Children's Hospital. And everybody that is listening knows somebody has a kid that went through Children's Hospital for something, has a niece, a neighbor, and they understand the importance of Children's Hospital is to us in this community. And for this football program and this football game to raise as much money as they do for Children's Hospital is incredible.
Well, and it really culminates, Mike, at the actual week of practice at their camp when the Children's Hospital children and parents come to the camp,
right,
and tell the players and coaches their story. And it's an amazing night. There's actual tears in the eyes of the participants of the game when they hear these stories.
And you guys have both, you've been the head coach in two of these games, I think, Tom,
yes.
Is that correct? Doug, how many?
I've coached twice.
You've coached twice as well. When you look back at that week, I can't imagine the football game itself is the first thing you think about. It's got to be the camaraderie, the other coaches, raising the money for Children's Hospital, how these players all came together as a group in a short time. I mean, that's the journey to get to the game is probably what the first thing you think about.
Yeah, when I think about my experience in 2016, I don't know that I've ever been close, and this sounds weird, but I don't know that I've ever been closer to a group of guys, a team that I've coached, than that particular team. Like in 1 week, how we became a unit, brothers. And, of course, at that time, I thought that would be the last game I'd ever coach,
Doug, you didn't think that, did you?
Not really.
No, me neither.
But when I think about, like you said, Mike, when I think about that experience, I think about the team. I don't even think about the game,
right?
Even though we won, and it was a great, way to end sort of my career at that time. But it was a great experience, and it was because of the kids that I got a chance to work with.
Should we start calling him Brett Favre Jr.? Retirement, not coming back. Hey, Doug, same question for you on the All-Star Game. You're really close to it, and so you see all the moving parts that people might not see. They show up in Oshkosh and show and watch and come to the game, but you're really involved in all the moving parts behind it. When you coached in it, the game is just not the first thing you think about.
No, it's the camaraderie, like you said, with coaching staffs, with getting to know these kids. It's the same thing for them. We like to tell those kids this is going to be the best experience of their life up to this point. And for most of them, it is. Just about all of them will say that this is the best experience of their life up to this point.
And it's not an easy week.
No.
It's hot.
Yeah.
The rooms are hot.
Yeah.
We had that talk last year. People were bringing, some window air conditioners just to get a little bit of relief. But, you put that aside. And these days are not easy.
No.
I mean, they're working hard.
Right. I mean, you're getting up at 6:45, 7:00. You got to hustle And at Whitewater, anyway, you've got a little ways to walk to get to the cafeteria. The kid, the only downside is there's a lot of walking involved at Whitewater.
Now, as coaches, do you...
No, we get carts.
I was going to say.
Doug takes care of us.
We could probably find a company to sponsor some carts or something for you.
No, they all get carts.
Yeah. But as you said, Mike, it's a long day, a very, very long day. And I just want to mention, there is no aspect of the All-Star game that Doug is not involved in. I mean, the reason we have a great All-Star games, plural, because there's three of them, is because of Doug Sarver and all the work he puts into it year long.
Yeah, I would just like to say that, thanks, Tom, but there are a lot of people involved in this game, including Tom. And these people that are involved in this game have all been involved for the 10 years that I have been. So having the same people in the same jobs year after year after year makes this thing run really smooth.
Yeah, the template is set.
Yes.
And you can tweak it because you have to tweak it. But and Doug, we've never talked about this, but I know that something always pops up, that you didn't see the year before or the year before that. So there's always things that you have to make sure that are running smooth. That week, do you go back and forth from Whitewater to Oshkosh?
Yes, I'll start out in Whitewater Saturday and Sunday, and then I'll go to Oshkosh, and then I'll come back to Whitewater, and then I'll end in Oshkosh during that week. So I'm all over the place.
It's a long week. What do you do during the day? Do you hang out at the practices?
Yeah, it's just kind of making sure things are going right, anything that the coaches need, making sure the logistics are on target. But, again, it's been run so well for so long, it pretty much runs itself.
Tom, the first year you did it, I'm sure the second year you were the head coach, you kind of knew what to expect.
Right.
That first year, though, had to be a little bit of an eye-opener.
It was. It was an eye-opener. And it was different then because there was only one game. So it was all divisions. Divisions 1 through 7 were represented in the game. And, that first year, I remember driving to camp or actually being dropped off at camp by Ingrid. And, I got out of the car and I got my stuff out of the car and I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen next?
What?
I just had no clue, what was going to unfold that week. And certainly the second time I did it, it was very different.
Guys, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Doug, we want to talk to you about, get an update from you on football-only conferences, where that is, what's happening, what you think is going to happen in the future. And we'll do that on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, as always presented by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development, Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle and Doug Sarver. Hey, Doug, before we get into football-only conferences, there is a video at WIFCA.org, WIFCA.org. If people have interest to know what that week is like, there's a video on that website about last year's All-Star game.
Yes, there's a video of the coaches and the players interacting with the Children's Hospital patients, and then also being interviewed for what they thought was their week and the exciting parts of their week. So it's a great video, maybe about 15 minutes long. So if you get the chance, go to WIFCA.org and just click on that video, and it'll be very interesting.
And look, if you're feeling led to maybe to donate some money to Children's Hospital through this, and you're on the fence, go watch that.
Exactly.
You know what? Watch the video and get your wallet out, because then you're definitely going to want to be involved in this thing. WIFCA.org, WIWisconsinFCA.org to watch that video. Make sure you've got 6-7 minutes, maybe some tissue and your wallet. That's what I would recommend. Hey, we wanted to talk a little bit about football and conferences with you, Doug, and give us an update. What's going on with that?
Well, the latest is we met with the WIA, and our partnership with them has been going along very well on this. This is something that we want to get uniformity across the state in the number of teams in a conference. And it's something that's been long overdue, so we've been putting a lot of time and effort into trying to get there. And it's a long process, and we think we're there. We've got a model set and ready to go. We met with the WIA. They made their suggestions. We tweaked them out a little bit. We approved their suggestions. They were very good suggestions, and we appreciated their help on that. So then our next step now is to contact as many of the schools that are changing conferences as we can, so they know that this doesn't just get a surprise all of
right.
a sudden jumped
Smart.
On. Some of them are not real thrilled, but most of them have been very supportive. I would say it's running about 80% supportive.
Now, is this going to be something that you will take a vote on, or will you guys make the decision?
At our All-Star Weekend, our board of directors and district reps meet. The plan will be presented to them. From there, it'll be put out probably on our website the following week. Then in August, it goes to the Board of Control of the WIAA. We will make that presentation there.
Hey, can I stop you a second? Is this the typical way that you guys work together, the WIAA? Because it seems like if you've had the conversation, they've made some suggestions, you've tweaked it. You would think that at that point in August, it should be a fairly easy putt, correct?
Yeah, this is unprecedented.
That's what I thought, yeah.
This is unprecedented. This is the opportunity to do what we're doing with the WIAA is something that we need to take advantage of in a positive way in our partnership with them. And it has been great working with them. They have been very supportive. We have been very supportive of them, knowing that once this model is done, and if it gets through the Board of Control, it has to go through the Board of Control and get approved.
Right.
Then it goes to the fall regional meetings, the WIAA fall regional meetings, where all the athletic directors and principals will be able to comment on it. They'll have 30 or 40 days to appeal if they're not thrilled. And then it will go, by the time our advisory meeting comes, the WFCA advisory meeting in December comes along, it should all be in place.
What a lesson a lot of different areas in our country can learn from this, don't you think? So instead of working together has been effective.
Very effective.
Right?
Now, we understand that there's going to be some schools that aren't going to be thrilled. Change is hard for some people, but we're asking our membership to support this plan and use the procedures in place if they're not thrilled with it, which is a two-year review that they can ask for relief or request relief.
And this really helps the WIAA also.
Oh,
I mean, there's
tons
on their part. There's, you know, one of the hardest things, at least being a part of the WIAA football advisory through the years, one of the things that I've observed is certainly schools wanting out of conferences for football reasons.
Right.
You know, this takes a lot off of them too. You know,
well,
so
years ago, Deb Hauser was on this show and she said, look, here's what people don't understand. When one domino falls, then all of a sudden there's going to be 50 that fall, because one school's asking for relief, and if I give them, then all of a sudden there's five other schools I have to adjust to get to, for that
right,
school.
Right.
This way, I think there are going to be a couple of people that are not happy, but
sure. The point is there's motivation on the part of the WIAA for this to 100%. Work too, because this takes a lot off of their plate.
Right.
Yeah, what our objective was, let's make this clear, our objective was uniformity of the number of schools and conferences across the state in football-only conferences. That was our objective, not to give relief. Now, where we could give relief by trying to pursue our objective, we did. And so some teams, a lot of these teams that are changing, there's 73 teams out of 392, 18% that are changing conferences at this time. There will be 38 eight-team conferences, 10 seven-team conferences, which will sister up on the bye dates. And then there's right now 2 9-team conferences who will also sister up on the bye dates.
Are the 9-team conferences in this area or out throughout the state?
They will be in this similar in the southeastern part of the state.
Do you, when you look at this and you put teams in conferences, it's not about being more competitive, so it's not looked at where you know you have one or two teams in a conference that always dominate that have said in the past, and I'll just use Homestead, who put their hand up and said, if you want to move us rather than you know, having some other schools that are asking for relief, if you need to do that, we're willing to do that. Do you look at that part?
We have. In some situations where we could, without, you know, by using the objective that we had of uniformity, if we could provide better situations for schools, we did. And in a case like Homestead, you know, if you take a Homestead out of their conference, sure, probably the teams in their conference are a lot happier.
Right.
But now you're moving them into another conference where the teams aren't going to be happy.
Not so happy
so,
over there.
Yeah, you got to watch. Hard. We try to keep as many conferences together as possible.
When will it be public knowledge as to what conference would be what?
I would think right now that the timeline is the week after the All-Star game weekend.
But you have it down on paper on what you're thinking.
Yes, the model is pretty much done. There's still some tweaking because we are calling and contacting a lot of the schools that are changing conferences, and where they may bring up an issue that we need to listen to.
Right. Hey, guys, before we get to a break, we're talking about Jeff Trickey during the break. And, and I appreciate Doug knowing that if I need him for my youth sports show or the high school football show, you guys have no, I'm sure you know because I say it enough. I've just got so much respect for him. And when he comes in, I feel like I'm really lucky that week because there's so much knowledge.
Right.
And his quarterback camp's going well.
Right, right. And you know, Jeff Trickey, friend of the show. And,
100%.
You know, we just want to, you know, let people know that Jeff has his quarterback camps again this summer and that you can go to JeffTrickeyQBCamps.com to get more information. But Jeff has been working with quarterbacks for a long, long time. And, you know, if you want to get some great training as a quarterback, certainly that is one of the places you can go.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that he's back in that game because
I'm glad to know he's back in it his way.
His way. That's a really good point.
And yes, his way.
Yeah, I was not finding the words for that because I wasn't sure exactly what to say with it. But you're right that he's doing it his way, and it's the correct way, if you ask me. I'm a huge fan of his. Hey, Doug, thank you so much for everything you do for this show and for some of the things that I do on 105.7, whether it's, you know, youth football or anything I need with St. Francis, I call you, and you're very gracious with your time and your knowledge. So thank you. I'm sure we'll talk to you before, but keep up the good work with everything with WFCA and this All-Star game coming up.
Thanks. It's always my pleasure to be in here, Mike. And again, we appreciate everything that you do to get the word out for Wisconsin high school football.
You bet. Again, that video, WIFCA.org. Go to that that website and watch that 6 or 7 minute video on the All-Star game and just the process of some of the stuff that they do, WIFCA.org. Hey, if you're traveling about today, the Metro Market in Waukesha, it's a Pewaukee address, Silvernail, the new Metro Market from 11 to 1, got our Johnsonville Broad Stop, raising money for a friend of ours, Matt Harris, head football coach at Waukesha North. He will not be there. He's in lacrosse with the track team. He's going to have some football players at the Waukesha North or at the pick and save on Silvernail. 100% of the proceeds we raised today will go to the Waukesha North football team. And I thank Matt Harris for setting this up and having his kids out there. And as always, I thank Pick and Save and Metro Market. I want to thank Johnsonville and Brownberry and, you know, those guys that get involved along with Frank Sauerkraut and Mount Olive Pickles, man. I can't forget those guys. Mount Olive Pickles and Yellow Peppers.
They're friends of mine.
Yeah, you know what? That's awesome.
Yeah.
You put anything you want, Italians, Johnsonville Brats, Johnsonville Italians, and chicken breast sandwiches, $2. 100% of the proceeds go to Waukesha North again, 11 to 1 today at the new Metro Market on Silvernail. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coach Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host. He's the head football coach at Milwaukee Tech, Tom Swiddle. Hey, Tom, you know, Johnson's been around a long time.
They have.
They've been around a long time, and they've always been kind of a mainstay when it comes to awards in high school sports.
Right.
Like, that's the company that, you know, everybody, even back when I was around, used. And when we talked about Johnson's, and one of the reasons we wanted to bring Dale on is, look, you talk about they're a sponsor of the WFCA, and there's a number of things that you guys would not be able to do without sponsors like them.
Correct. And you're right. When you think about high school awards, be it athletics or other things, I mean, Johnson's is the company that immediately comes to mind.
Immediately.
And as you know, Mike, we've been working together for long enough now that you certainly understand all the different programs and events that are put on by the WFCA. And we simply could not do these programs and events without sponsors like Johnson's. I mean, they are integral for the WFCA. And, you know, Dale Comrell is somebody who I'm sure right now is very busy. The graduation season is coming up. And boy, when I think about our Johnson's rep at Wauwatosa East, Bruce Weeks, and all the things he does for us,
right?
I just appreciate, you know, having some Dale having some time to come on the show.
Do you know their mission statement, and when you go on their website, capture, celebrate, and inspire. Capture, celebrate, inspire, and their values as a team member of Johnson's. They're accountable for care, which is customer-centered, act with integrity and responsibility, respect and recognize and embrace change. And we certainly thank Dale for a few minutes of his time. Dale, how you doing today?
Hey, doing pretty well. Thanks, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Hey, the capture, celebrate, and inspire, that's the Johnson's mission, correct?
That is correct.
And when you guys, look, a guy my age, when I think about who we went to for graduation rings and stuff like that, you know, we didn't get a lot of awards over at Messmer back in the day, so I didn't know.
Well,
my
Mike,
Johnson,
you got to earn them,
yeah,
first. For, okay?
Well, you know what? It was those Marquette High boys that, yeah, shut up, Swiddle. But certainly on some of the stuff, so you guys been around a long time.
It has been, and we have been around for quite some time. You know, I myself with Johnston's, the July next month will be year number 36 that I've been with them. So it's been a lot of adventure, and it's been a lot of experiences. It's been a lot of celebrations, and probably more important, just a whole lot of relationships with just some great, great people. You know, for us, especially with what we all do, there are five of us in the state of Wisconsin, Johnston's reps that cover the state. And I'm glad you mentioned graduation, too, because if I do get a quick buzz here, I've got 12 big graduations going on this weekend, like a lot of us.
Man.
So if I do have to cut off for a second, and I'll be right back.
I thought Bruce Weeks was a part of our staff at Wauwatosa East, Dale. He was there so much at this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, and Bruce has done a great job, and like the rest of the guys, too. I mean, we're just trying to make sure we've got all the bases covered because, you know, part of that mission statement, too, was celebration. There's no bigger celebration in the high school career as graduation night, and that's for not just the seniors, you know, but it's also their parents and the faculty and the staff and the administration. I mean, that's a big, big day, and it's a big day to celebrate, and we just want to do everything we can to make it go well and go very smooth and also be very exciting.
We are talking to Dale Comrell. He's with Johnson's. How long have you been with Johnson's?
It'll be 36 years next month, so July will be number 36, and I'm just about halfway there as far as trying to get things covered, so I'm hoping for another 36, and then maybe we'll call it a career.
You still don't know what you want to do when you grow up, or what?
Well, no, I've been having a great time with Johnston's and with the people that we've had a chance to work with, and the coaches and the programs and the championships. It just never gets old, and everybody's got their own unique story. Which is pretty cool when you sit down with these teams that have won championships and you get a chance to get the input from the players and the coaches, and you find out what's important to them, what, you know, leading up to their championship, some of the things that they came across and, you know, the adversaries that they faced and what was really important throughout the year. And you try to take some of those stories and take some of that input in helping designing their championship ring to make it really unique and something very special that's not like any other championship ring before theirs.
Hey, Dale, when two teams that are both Johnston schools are in the finals, you can't root for anybody, right?
Well, that's a good point. That's a really good point. But, you know, we've got, because there's five of us that cover the state, so oftentimes, you know, there'll be a little goodwill between us, too, when we know that my school is facing one of my buddy's schools, like Bruce Weeks, you know, for that state championship. Of course, we're both we're rooting for both of them, actually. So, yeah, it's just fun to be a part of it when we are able to be a part of it.
Hey, Dale, who are the other guys that handle the state for you?
Well, there's obviously myself over here in this part of the world. Ted Annis is up in the north. Danny McCormick is over closer by Bruce Weeks. So there's Chad Kilton, who's also kind of between Madison and that Milwaukee area. And then we've also got a young man who just came on the team here first full year up in the Wausau area, Bill Ferrario, who was an ex-Badger, played for the Badgers, and then also played for the Packers. So he did a little training with us, and he just joined us this year full time. So he's just done a great, great job up in that part of the world.
Hey Dale, when I was at Dominican, we won a couple of state championships, and I misplaced one of the rings.
A couple.
Yeah, well, when I was there, yeah, we did back to back, and how does somebody go about replacing one?
Well, and good question. Now with the technology that's been available about the last, about the last 22 years, 23 years, we've been able to keep records, and so we still have the dyes and we can recall stuff with this imaging program. So if there's a ring that was lost from any championship over the last 20 plus years, maybe 25 even, we still got the ability to recreate that ring. And that's been really cool to do that and provide that to people.
Is Dan McCormick down in the Waterford area?
Yeah, I believe he does have that Waterford area. Yes, that would be Dan McCormick.
Okay. You know, when his son was playing football at Waterford.
Yes.
We had touched base, and I had asked him, and he said, yeah, I'll, you know, let me look into that. And then I don't know if he lost my number or I lost his, but we stopped, and now that I have you on, I thought I'd ask that question again. I'll have to reach out to McCormick again and see if he can, you know, make that ring again, and I'll pay him what I need to pay him, but it'd be nice to get that one back.
And by the way, Johnny McCormick played for me in the All-Star game.
He was a receiver, right?
And D-back.
Okay.
And a heck of an athlete. Oh, man,
yes,
he was a good athlete.
Fortunately,
yeah,
he inherited his mother's athletic ability. So that was
and her good,
a win for both.
And yeah, her good looks.
And he, and yeah, I have to tell you, Johnny has one of the best sense of humors I've ever been around.
And her sense of humor, man. He got everything from Mrs. McCormick.
Yeah, boy, I thought there's a win-win and a win right there.
Yeah, that's
and
hey,
I
what
think Dan ended up the winner.
Dale, what area do you cover?
Well, I'm basically, I kind of cover what they call the river territories. So I've got the Mississippi River to my west, and then the Wisconsin River borders me on the east, and then follow that Wisconsin River all the way down to where it basically catches up. It used to catch up down by Prairie du Chien, but now I go a little further to the south. We've had a couple guys who have retired over the last few years. It wasn't really that many years ago. There were 10 of us in the state of Wisconsin, and we're now down to that 5. So we all cover a little bit more territory, but it's workable with technology and communication. Now it's a whole lot easier program. But, you know, for us, it's always been very, very important that we're there and able to work with our people and be at the schools. And that's how this business works. You get to know people and try to make sure that you can take care of whatever their needs are. And you got to be there face-to-face, and I think we all do a pretty darn good job of that.
Well, you do, Dale, absolutely. And I know that Jostyn certainly meets the needs of the WFCA. You do a lot of things for us, from Hall of Fame rings to the rings we give to coaches who win a state championship. How long has Jostyn been working with the WFCA?
Well, that relationship, too, I was not directly involved with that. Probably the last, I started in 1982 is when I started. And the guy that handled that for us was based out of the Madison area, was Bill Rudy. So
yes,
we've been there all during his tenure. So I'm going to guess to say that we've been there for 30 plus years. And I have taken over that part of it here the last 4 or 5 years. And so it's been a long time, and it's been just a great relationship, and it's just one that we're really happy to be re-involved once again and to be a little bit more active. I just got to go down to that coaches clinic, and I was just absolutely astounded at the size and the quality and the production of that coach's clinic down in Madison. I mean, that thing was amazing. I thought I'd go down there and I'd see about maybe 300 coaches and different people, and you know, times that by 10. It was over 3,000 people at that.
Yeah, level. It's the largest football-only clinic in the United States.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's probably why I was walking around with my mouth open. And I had to close it a few times. And yeah, that was just very impressive, and what a great, great program. But I also wanted to – somebody had mentioned, too, I'm not sure if it was you, Mike, or Tom, but mentioned that Jostens had been around for quite some time. The story of how we got our beginning was kind of interesting, too, because a lot of our beginnings and our affiliations and our communications have been with the military. It was actually in 1897, and it was that senior class at West Point. And they traditionally would receive a graduation or a lapel pin for their graduation ceremony. And that class of 1897 wanted to do something different. So what they did is they contacted a jeweler in upstate New York, a master craftsman jeweler by the name of Otto Jostin. And they said, hey, can you take the pin and can you use that for a top of a ring? We want to be the first class to create a graduation ring.
Oh, my.
So that's where we got the start. And then Otto Jostin at that time was still in upstate New York. And I might have some of the parts of the story not exactly correct, but it's pretty close. And that he was just getting ready to move back to the Owatonna, Minnesota area because he was recently married or about to be married, and that's where his wife was from. So then Otto Jostin ended up moving over to Owatonna, Minnesota, and then with our affiliation with West Point, we started making the graduation rings, and from there it moved into different branches of graduation recognition. So that's how it all began, you know, 1897, 122 years ago.
Boy, that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
And still going strong. Again, when you think about Jostin, their mission statement, capture, celebrate, inspire. Hey, Dale, can we keep you over for one more segment?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. He's Dale Comroy. He's with Jostin. And again, talk to Tom Swiddle. WFCA, they get to do a lot of stuff because of sponsors like Jostin, and we certainly thank them for the work and the how much they give back to the community. We'll continue our conversation with Dale on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle, head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. That's what happens when I try to talk too fast.
Yes.
Right there. We're also joined by Dale Comroy. Dale, what's your title with Jostin's?
Well, I'm just a lacrosse area representative for Jostin. So we're basically just, we run their different territories between the five of us. So
and
just the area rep.
Where is the corporate office for Jostin?
Traditionally, that they still have a corporate office in Owatonna, Minnesota, but a lot of the stuff is handled up in Normandale Boulevard up in Minneapolis.
Hey, can we talk for a minute about Jostin's Youth Matter?
Sure.
You know, in 1976, you supported an organization which their work to create strong communities with learning opportunities for our youth. And it is something, an area of commitment with education, environment, expression that you guys really believe in, correct?
Correct.
And can we talk a little bit about what's some of the things that you guys do? I know back again a few years ago, with Dan McCormick, he was telling me about some people that you would bring in as guest speakers to talk at local high schools about making sure you're a good kid, staying in school, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got a number of programs that we had been working with across the country. And back when this started, we worked with a principal in that, I think it was either North Carolina or South Carolina, and the concern there was with their graduation rates, where they were having some difficulty, not difficulty, they were just looking on ways to improve their graduation
right.
rates. And so there was a principal over there, I'm trying to think of his name, it's Larry Biddle, I think is his name, Conway High School in, he's either North or South Carolina. But he had some pretty innovative ideas, and he started running those programs and trying some of these different ideas in his high school. It started working, improving graduation rates. Our rep in that area caught wind of it and said, hey, this is something that would be good and for Johnston's to get involved with. It. Anytime we can help improve schools, improve graduation rates, it's good for everybody. It's, again, a win and a win and a win. And so we took that program and we started working with it to try to improve ways that students would commit to staying and graduating with their class. And we came up with a program that's what I actually called C2G, Commitment to Graduate. So we took that program, and then Johnston's invested a great deal of time and effort and finance into it so that we could bring it out to the entire country. And so in doing so, we did that. And it was that as we developed the program, we put it under the umbrella called Johnston's Renaissance, because it has grown into a lot of other different programs based on the time and a lot of the concerns with schools. As you know, school health is a concern, school safety is a concern, and just mental health and improvement for students, faculty, and everybody involved. So we've got a program with Mike Smith now, too. It's called The Harbor. And we make that available to all of our schools for free. It's a weekly communication. This Mike Smith has done a tremendous job. We've had him here in the state of Wisconsin. He just has the ability to work and connect with students. And it's not just a one-time speaker thing. It's an ongoing thing that we use all throughout the school year. And schools can access this information. And he has a presentation that streams into the schools. And they'll use it. It's for improving, you know, the health and the attitude and getting all the students involved. And it's such a great concern for students. And so that program, I guess I'm getting a little long here with this, and I apologize. But if you just go under Johnston's and look at Renaissance,
yep,
you'll see just a great many programs that are available that we make available to our schools. And it's been a tremendous thing to be a part of. Like Dan McCormick was really involved with it early. We've all gotten very involved with it. And we bring these speakers to the schools, and generally, you know, we're the ones that arrange it, set it up, help with it financially, and help or raise funds to make all this stuff work. And just been a real, real plus. It's one of the neat things about, you know, and a lot of people would sometimes think, well, that's the Johnston's guy. He comes to school, he does something with caps and gowns or rings, and it's just so much more than that.
If you get so a chance, rewarding. Hey Dale, if you get a chance to hear Mike Smith speak, and you don't if you don't feel like running through the wall after you hear that guy,
yeah,
then there's something the matter with your ears. Hey Tom, we've got 2 minutes left with Dale, and what Johnston's does for the WFCA is invaluable.
Invaluable. It's just, you know, to have a company like Johnston's that we can rely on to do something for big events. I mean, imagine, you know, being in the Hall of Fame and you know, you get that ring.
Yep.
And that ring has a certain look to it. And it's just, you know, to have somebody like Johnston's be able to provide that particular thing to a person who's being honored by the WFCA just means so much.
It does.
To us.
Hey, Dale, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Tell Mr. McCormick that we're ripping on him pretty good today. It's only because he stopped reaching out to me to help me with that Dominican ring.
Well, absolutely. I'll let him know that. He's also a Minnesota native, and so he's been one of the personnel group who's still waiting over there to design that very first Viking Super Bowl ring. So
yeah, he's going to be made. I think he's waiting a while. Yeah, tell him to be patient. Tell him to be patient. Dale Comroe, thank you so much
for
a few minutes.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. Boy, it's companies like that, Tom, that, you know, behind the scenes a little bit. So thank you so much for allowing us to talk to him for a couple of segments, because I think it's important for people to understand behind the scenes, a lot of people help the WFCA.
Yes, absolutely.
Man, that's awesome. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Matt Walker, head football coach at UW River Falls, is going to join us. I look forward to talking to Matt about what's going on with his program. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGivern.
Welcome back into the WFCA show. I'm Mike McGivern alongside the head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. I need to get that promo maybe updated, huh, coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should probably do that. I'll get that in before our next show.
Okay.
I'll make sure that we want to promote what you're doing over there. We want to promote, the purple, right? You're going to look good in purple, by the way.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
I will. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm just kidding. You will. Hey, our next guest, and I believe I've had him on my high school football show, but it's been a couple of years during the football season. He is starting his eighth season at UW River Falls. He's the head football coach there, Matt Walker. Coach, how are you today?
Doing well. Appreciate being with you guys.
Yeah, you bet. We appreciate you you coming on and talking some River Falls football. What this time of year, you know, I think people that just kind of watch football on Saturdays think that you guys just take all this time off and, you know, start getting at it come mid-August, but that's not the case, correct?
Boy, it's really not. It feels like it changes more every year. I feel like we get busier every year during this time, but
you're probably recruiting sophomores right now, right?
Oh, God. You know what? In seriousness, the recruiting calendar keeps pushing up. I mean, I'm still a young guy in the profession, and I felt like not that long ago, you didn't really think about recruiting until the season ended. I mean, you had a little bit of stuff during the season. You'd have some guys on campus during games, but you really picked it up once the season ended. And now, I mean, you feel like you're behind if this time of year you don't already know what's going on with the juniors to be senior guys. So it really has changed, to be honest with you.
You know, it's interesting, Coach. I do a show called Faith in the Zone, and I asked a guy. He was a Division I head coach. I think he was at Eastern Michigan University. And I said he had been doing it for a little while. He was 44 years old, but he was a head football coach at the age of 28. And I said, I've been coaching basketball a long time. And I said, boy, do you feel like the kids have changed over the years? And he said, absolutely not. He said, we've changed. He said, when I was a head coach, I was at 28. I was single, and I was one of the cool guys. I'm now 44, got three kids, and all I want to do is get out of practice and go home. They're not changing. Well, I'm changing.
Well, it's funny. I was a head football coach at 28 as well at DePaul University, and now I'm just over 40 and have three kids. That's my story right there as well. And I think there's some truth to it. I just, my goodness. You know, I'd probably be in the minority, but, you know, the Division I scholarship people have calendars with the recruiting and have dead periods. And, you know, we don't in Division III. And I think that there's probably some guys that would argue not to, but I may be one where I'd argue for it. I mean, there's times where we need to be told to, you know, just stop for a while and take a break and take a deep breath and let the kids relax. And with the social media and moving the recruiting calendar up, it just never stops. And I feel like, you know, there's maybe other people like me that would say maybe a good thing that we would be forced to take a break. I don't know.
Coach, I think there's a lot of high school coaches that feel the same way. I mean, you know, certainly there's a handful of guys that would love to have unlimited contact, you know, that they could be with their players every day with organized activities. And, you know, there's some that wish we didn't have any contact,
right?
You know, just because you're taking so many things away from the players with those expectations and, you know, coaches, you know, you have to do it because your conference rival's doing it, you know, and yeah, it has become quite out of control in some ways.
I agree with you. I think the copycat part is exhausting and trying to stay up with people. And I mean, it's like, okay, you feel like if you don't have the best social media account, you're behind. It is exhausting. And I think there's some truth to that too. I mean, during the season even in season, having some break away from your guys, I think it's a good thing. There's always the debate in college football. You have to take one day off within the 7 days. And it's always, do you take Sunday or do you take Monday? Everybody handles it differently. And I've always liked Sunday because part of it is I think the guys, they want to get away from us. They're tired of hearing us yell and bitch and scream at them. And us, too, it's kind of good to have a break. I like the day off in between the Saturday game just to kind of get a break from each other. And I think with the recruiting piece we talk about, I think the high school coaches may enjoy some dead period from us. We have to be bugging them. I cannot believe in our sport we're still allowed to go and get kids out of school and talk to them in the schools, but we do, and it's important to do it.
Yeah.
It's really part of our culture. You know, I was fortunate enough to be a head baseball coach in college as well, and I had very little contact with the high school coach. He did very little in the school, and it just wasn't the expectation. But in football, it's still how you recruit. You got to get in face-to-face with kids. These kids they're out of class all the time. And again, I don't want to be careful. I'm not promoting not to let me into your school, but
right.
I can't believe we can still get in there and do that. But and hell, now we're doing it in the spring as well. I mean, guys are in and out of high schools all the time. It never stops.
Well, Coach, we're trying to make that a little bit easier for you and for others with our WFCA player profiles, as I get a cheap plug in.
There you go.
You know, those combine participants who are, you know, got everything online for college coaches to see. And, you know, we're talking about keeping up with the Joneses in many respects here. And, boy, when you coach football on the WEAC, there's a lot of, you know, programs, very, very, very good programs that you're trying to keep up with and be competitive with.
You know, it's incredible, and I'm one that can, because of my career path and my timeline, I can speak intelligently on it because I've been in different leagues, different levels, and there's nothing like it. And again, I think people, even the people that think they understand how good the league is, they don't even get how good the league is. And, you know, one of the things that attracted me to the job, it was the league. It was one of the things that I wanted to be a part of. I was at a crossroads in my career with, you know, do I go the baseball route? I was in a Division I assistant job at Butler. I was like, do I want to go be Nick Saban and be the best Division I coach? And it kind of was the decision of my family. And I wanted to back in Division III. I wanted to try to be in the league. I think I wanted to be at the top of the profession. And I think to do that, you have to be in this league. And so that, along with, you know, just this great community and the school and wanting to be here, that was a big factor in wanting to come here. But, you know, the situation that I took over and having to rebuild a program, it's already hard enough to rebuild a football program.
Right.
Everybody understands that at any level. I mean, high school, college, the pros, it's hard to get over the hump. There's a thousand more variables that have to align for you than any other sport to make it happen. And then you throw on the fact that you got to do it against the best teams in the country every Saturday. It's been a frustrating path and a frustrating road, but a rewarding one. And my goodness, are we close? Now we got the new building, and you know, I want to say it's one of the most exciting times we've ever had in the history of our program.
Coach, I can tell you this by experience: when you do get to that mountaintop, and now you can sit down and say, "Look, okay, we've changed the culture, and we've now become a program that can consistently be in the top half of this conference." It with all the hard work and sweat equity that you have to put in to get it there, once you get it there, it just tastes so much sweeter. It just does, because you know where all the bodies are buried.
No, and you can already feel that. I mean, I think that I'm so proud of the kind of kids, not just players, but the coaches and players, and everyone that's been a part of the program. It's taken a whole bunch of commitment and dedication, because it has been some dark times. I mean, to go 0-10 the first one and kind of start over and build this thing. And then a year ago to finish fourth in the league, and going into this was really a disappointing one. As hard as the early ones were, when we kind of knew we weren't going to win, which is a really hard situation to be in when you just know it's going to be really tough. But even this year, though, this was even the toughest one, because everything had aligned. We thought we had the best team we've ever had. In fact, I think we still did. It just didn't happen for us. You know, nobody wants to hear your sad injury stories, so I won't give them to you. But when it just didn't happen this year, in the year where we really thought it was ready to happen,
Yeah. This
was as hard of a one as we've ever had. But, boy, we got a better team, even on paper, coming back. We're as excited as we've ever been. Recruiting continues to just be crazy for us. So just tons of excitement right now.
Coach, you're going to be one of my confidants as I embark on a new coaching situation at Bradley Tech. And I know exactly what you're saying when, you know, you look at a program and you're like, man, we got so far to go. But, you know, I looked at your schedule last year, and, boy, you had five tough losses by average of one touchdown, 7 points.
I mean, just to put in perspective, you lost to Oshkosh by 3. You lost to Platteville by 10. You lost to Whitewater by 13. It's not like you're getting beat by, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns. You are right there in the game.
Just when he almost forgot about some of those, you had to bring those back up, didn't you?
Ripping off the skin. We have a rule in my house. I don't want to talk about those. But, no, you're right. I mean, even in a tough win-loss year, boy, you could walk away from some of those still giving you a little pep saying, you know what, we are still one of the best teams in the country. I mean, one of the best teams in the country. I thought Oshkosh was the most talented team in the nation last year. I really think they were. And, you know, we went in there in week 8. And started a quarterback in the first start of his career. You know, it was one of the issues. We had some injury at quarterback, and everybody knows that's hard. And so that was one of our issues. But so we take the sophomore, who I knew was going to be a star in the league. I just didn't think he was maybe quite ready yet. But we said, you know what, let's let her rip. And he goes in, and he lights him up at their place. And this was at their place. And we led the whole game in a heck of a game. You know, and then he goes to Stevens Point in week 9, and Point's a hard place to play at their place, and he lights them up and is the player of the week in the league. And so even in this tough year, we walk away there at the end saying, okay, we got this kid back, Ben Beckman, a kid out of Blaine High School in Minnesota. We said, we can build this thing around. We still can beat anybody in this country. If you got a chance to beat Oshkosh, Whitewater, Platteville, you can beat anybody in this country. And
hey, Coach, do you find that when you're trying to change the culture – those games, when there's 3 minutes to go and you got a chance to beat somebody, are the kids looking at the scoreboard a little bit too? Do you know the question? It's hard to get over that hump sometimes when a program isn't used to winning big games like that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of that thing that's hard to put into words. But yeah, you know, you'd be a liar. It'd be real easy for me to sit here and say, oh, no, you know, well, yeah, something's happening. I mean, you just feel it. I mean, even as coaches, you kind of feel whatever that is that you can't put into words, like this extra pressure, this, oh, my God, we're about to do it thing. And, you know, that's the next step for us.
Right.
And I wish I had the perfect formula to make it happen. And if I did, I'd be a much happier guy. But so, yeah, something happened, you know, and that's our next step. And, you know, you talk to a lot of people in the industry about it, and I think they all agree it's hard to put into words, but it's clearly our next step.
We're going to get to a break. If we can hold you over for one more segment, Coach, I'd like to talk to you about what it takes for our high school kids that are listening right now, what it takes to play at that next level. I'd like to ask you that question, not only on the field, but in the classroom. We were talking to Matt Walker. He is the head football coach at UW River Falls, and we'll continue with him on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. I love that. I love bringing up that Dave Amoroso story.
Yes.
Don't lose to the Lutherans. We are joined by Matt Walker, head football coach at UW River Falls. Hey, Coach, a couple of questions for you. Looking at your roster, I know you would prefer to have more kids from Southeast Wisconsin, because I know that there's a lot of good football players in this area. Is it tough for you guys to recruit in this area because of the distance?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, I'd be a liar if I didn't think that was part of it. I mean, you're driving by most of the other UW schools to get to us. But, you know, we've had some individuals out of there that have been very, you know, impactful players for us. We always do our due diligence and try to recruit there some. But, you know, again, as you know, recruiting is so competitive, and we have to be efficient. You know, our return on investment with our time is important. And
right.
So, you know, we I'm not afraid to you know, tell everyone, we want to win our backyard. We want to win the Western Wisconsin kids. We want to win the kids in the Twin City area. But, you know, we also, you know, with some of our majors, we have some unique majors. Our business program is our largest major now, our top program. We obviously have our agriculture niche, our education niche. So, I mean, we're able to hit some kids from greater distances. Yeah, I'd love to go in there and do better, but man, we're hitting our head against the wall competing against so many other people for those kids. So we'll keep up the fight, but yeah, to answer your question, it is tougher for us. There's no doubt about it.
Coach, one of the most frustrating things I do during the high school football season, I do a high school football coaches show every Saturday from 10 to noon. And one of the most frustrating things that I come across are kids from this area that are willing to go to a Division II school up in Minneapolis or Minnesota and just to be able to say, yeah, I got a scholarship. But when you dig down and find out they got a $2,000 scholarship, it doesn't make any sense to me. They could stay at home, drive the 5 hours, play at UW River Falls for a lot less, play in a much better conference, get a chance to maybe compete to play and be able to stay home and get to a distance where their family can drive and see them play. And they're going to be at Oshkosh 1 week, or they might be at Whitewater 1 week. So they're going to get a chance to play, to see him play even more. But for some of these kids to make the decision to go to some of the schools up in Minnesota to be able to say that they've got a scholarship, even though it's a, you know, you're going to pay more in gas than you're getting, is a really frustrating part of doing that show and hearing some of that. Do you feel that frustration?
Coach, it is one of the things that's begun to consume our lives. This fight against this idea that it's a better idea to go take the $500 to $2,000 scholarship to say you're a scholarship kid is probably more consuming than anything else we fight in recruiting right now. And you know, again, we're not Division II haters at all. I got a lot of friends in that area and profession, and I respect them. And
sure.
But you're right. Too many of these. And at the same time, one of the things we've started to understand that is one of the most important things in our recruiting process is being very nice to those guys on the back end when they tell us that they're going to Division IIs. Because I think it's really dangerous to plan and set up your recruiting around transfers. But it's been really big for us and beneficial. We're getting a lot of these kids back that maybe it takes them a year to realize what you and I both understand and what you just said. I think the other thing that's happened is, you know, the Division II world started to creep into Wisconsin and kind of our neck of the woods. But now, whether a kid is a good player in Milwaukee or a good player in River Falls, they're going to get talked to by the Division II is expanded entirely through Wisconsin, as you know now.
Yes.
So, you know, the fight in the state for the top players is become harder and harder. It's why you see, you know, there's a lot of programs in our league that are trying to find pockets outside of Wisconsin. I don't think any of us want to. But I think, you know, you're finding people in the Chicago area. You see us dabbling. You know, we decided to try to use, we said, hey, what's the one advantage we have over the league? It's the airport. You know, in Minneapolis, we're 25-minute, 30-minute drive from the airport. So we're dabbling out west. You got people, everybody's kind of trying to find a new pocket because the Division II fight is now across the entire state for sure.
You know, Coach, in a very weird way, I've been coaching high school football for an awful long time. And I remember back in the 90s, there was a series of games called the Border Battle where the UW system schools would play the Minnesota Division II schools. And at that time, the Wisconsin schools pretty regularly beat the Minnesota schools. And I think that, these Minnesota schools who are losing to the, you know, Division III UW system schools sort of discovered there's a lot of good football players in the state of Wisconsin. You know, you can't beat these Division III schools from the state, and thus they've really started to recruit our state. So in a weird way, that situation may have helped Minnesota, you know, or given them the incentive, I should say, to come into the state and recruit more.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it was before me, but I've heard a lot of the history of that, and I think you're right, and boy, that had to be cool back in the day to play that border battle. It sounds fun. Obviously, things have changed now. And again, I'm not disrespecting the Northern Sun League. What a great league! I mean, they do such a great job, and you know, it's really good football. But yeah, things have changed, and it's really made recruiting interesting. And I think it's another thing you talk about the recruiting calendar and moving things up. I think because we recruit so much against the Division II league. We have to move our calendar up. And we're almost having to hold a Division One, Division Two type recruiting calendar because we're recruiting against those guys as much or more than other Division Three schools.
Hey, Coach, when you're talking to a kid and one of your assistant coaches are talking to a kid and you're telling him what it takes to play and come to River Falls, not only in the classroom and on the field, but socially, what things are you talking about that they have to do and have to understand before they make that decision to play football at the next level, what it takes?
You know, we use the word compartmentalize a lot. I think the one thing kids understand, I think most of them are smart enough to know that it's the next level in football. It's going to be a transition. And a lot of them don't quite understand how much of a transition. I think that we're all, I mean, I thought I was Tom Brady when I went to college. I think we're all humbled a little bit when we get there. But we know it's going to be a transition. What they don't understand fully, I don't think, is that every aspect of their life, whether, like you said, socially, academically, being away from mom and dad, the football part, it's all a new thing. It's all a transition. It's all a challenge. It's all going to be tough. And if you can't compartmentalize it, if you can't kind of separate things, boy, guys struggle. And there's a reason that there's attrition in our sport. I don't think it's always the football. I think it's everything else that goes along with the football. And so they got to be ready for the transition in all aspects of life, not just football, I think is really important for guys.
That's a great way to put all of that, Coach, and a great lesson for those that are listening. Hey, I wanted to spend a little time just talking about your new facility up there. You have a $66 million athletic facility. It's been said it's one of the finest, if not the finest, in the country. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's just changed our lives. I think, I'm really careful. I don't want it to be all about the buildings and all the flashy stuff. I think it's more about people. But at the same time, we were just at such a disadvantage. As anybody that's followed us or been around the campuses of the league know at all, we really had probably the worst stuff going. And now to go from the bottom of the league with facilities to arguably, like you said, maybe the best facility in the entire country in Division III, it's just changed our lives. And it's given us an opportunity. Again, I don't love that I'm going to win a recruit only because of a building, but what I've told our guys is, hey, maybe this is an opportunity to get guys here that wouldn't have come and taken a look here, and now we can tell our story to guys that wouldn't even have looked before. And it's given us a chance against some of these Division II schools. I mean, they're walking on those campuses and through their stuff, and then they come into our stuff, and they're like, damn, this is better than any of the stuff in the Division II. So, man, it's... Again, and I tell everybody, there's going to be a nicer stadium here. There's going to be a nicer arena here, but nobody has the building. I mean, it's put our entire athletic department under one roof in one location, everything brand new all together. It is an absolutely incredible place.
Well, and you know, as much as we don't want to think it is, but facilities is a big deal. You know, my daughter was a Division I soccer player, and in her recruitment, visiting all kinds of schools, and my son, who's up at Michigan Tech and playing football, and he visited a lot of schools, and facilities does have something to do with it, no question.
Hey, Coach.
No, it does. Yeah.
Hey, last thing, when you talked about what it takes to play at the next level, and we went Division II, Division III, I just want people to understand that my son played Division III basketball at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and when he was getting done, he played for 4 years. He sent out 8 resumes when he had a month to go before he graduated. He got 8 phone calls from the companies that he sent. They all called and brought him in for an interview. And I took his resume and I brought it to somebody. I said, why is he getting all this play on this thing? And the guy said right off the bat, he said he played basketball for 4 years in college, and he was a 2-year captain and a 2-year academic All-American. He goes, I don't know if I'd hire the kid, but I'd want to bring him in. Anybody who stays and has that commitment, and he used that word too, can decompartmentalize, right? He gets everything. He knows exactly where he's got to be, when he's got to be there, and takes care of his business. Their future, when they're done with college, is really bright.
No, and I'm a firm believer in it. And again, I don't want to become a cliche machine here and go off about this, but part of what we've had to become as football coaches now is defenders of our game. I mean, let's be honest, our game's under attack. And I think that one of the things, without trying to become a cliche monster, is our kids are learning stuff that they're not getting in classrooms anywhere. They're learning stuff, and again, I'm not, again, I was a two-sport athlete in college and coached both in college, so I'm not ripping other sports, but there's things in football that guys just walk away from our game with different things instilled with them than any other sport. And there are clearly advantages to being a college athlete and what our kids learn and the life lessons. And it is powerful, powerful stuff. And employers, smart employers know it. And you're right. There's powerful stuff going on in our sport.
You bet. He is Matt Walker. He's the head football coach at UW River Falls. Coach, thanks a lot for a couple minutes of your time. I really appreciate it.
Guys, it was great having me on. I'd love to be on anytime I can. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you very much. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Travis Wilson with Sports.net is going to join us. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. It's always presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside head football coach at Milwaukee Tech, past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head coach at Brookfield, at least former head coach at Wauwatosa East. Man.
Don't forget Dominican. That's your school.
That's where I coached.
Right, right.
If you coached at Messmer, I'd be all over that.
No, those were rivals. I learned that early in my career at Dominican.
I went to Tech as a freshman. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know
that.
Yeah,
I didn't do well.
John Lehman went to Tech as a freshman also.
Did he really?
Yeah, because they had ninth graders, and he didn't want to go to Steuben, and he knew he was going to Washington, but
sure.
His freshman year was at Tech.
Yeah, I went to Messmer after that 1 year at Tech. I think I got beat up too much or something. I don't know, because I had a big mouth back then. Thank goodness I've changed, right?
Yes.
We'll ask our next guest if he thinks I've changed. Travis Wilson with Sports.net. Now I'm just a kind, gentle soul, don't you think, Travis?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate that. How's your family, by the way?
They're good. Our kids had their last day of school yesterday, so we're in the summer vacation, and now it's time for a lot of fun.
There you go. That's awesome. Hey, Travis, we wanted to have you on to talk some combine stuff, but before we do that, your feeling on this football-only conference idea that looks like it's starting to get a lot of traction. We talked to Doug Sarver early in the show. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I think movement in the right direction and a lot of support is what I have seen and heard from coaches, from administrators, from the WIA over the last several months as well. And in full disclosure, I've been involved in that realignment process as well as part of the WFCA's ad hoc committee. And I can certainly tell you that Coach Sarver and everybody on the committee have put in a ton of work, a ton of time on it, have worked very closely with Wade Lebecki and the WIAA to make sure that, the little details are right and it's something that they are interested in pursuing. And so I really think everything is moving in the right direction for this to come into play. Now the one caveat is that the actual full plan where schools are going to be placed has not been released yet. And so there's a lot of times in situations like this where coaches and athletic directors and people say, yeah, we think, realignment is a good idea and we like all the parameters and we like all the discussions and everything, and then you show them where their conference is, and then they have a change of heart. I don't want to play that team. I go from, I get moved conferences, I don't like it. I have a team come into my conference, I don't like it. I'm no longer the big dog in my conference, I don't like it. And so you really have to kind of fight the battle of trying to get coaches to see the big picture and not be so myopic on how it impacts their school directly, because I wholeheartedly feel that the football conference realignment plan that is being produced by the WFCA is a significant step in the right direction. I think it's good for football overall in the state of Wisconsin. Certainly not every single school is going to love it, but you know what? There would never be a plan ever, no matter how well you do it, that would be perfect for everybody. And so you just got to look at it from a large scale perspective. I hope that's what most coaches do. I hope that's what the athletic directors do, the administrators, the WIAA, and ultimately the Board of Control that would vote to put this in.
And, Travis, I think it's worth noting that should a school be put in a conference, let's say, that they don't want to be in, you know, every 2 years there is a review process. There is built into this plan a way for schools to I don't know, opt out. I don't know if that's the right word, but to try to find a different conference. So I think that's good also that there is that built into the plan.
Absolutely. And not only that, you know, there's the option to request relief. Now, of course, just because the school requests relief doesn't mean it's going to be granted.
Right. There's a process. Right.
Yeah, not only is that available, but it's every 2 years and it's statewide. And so hopefully that will mitigate a lot of the concerns that have come up over the years, you know, where schools are requesting relief over and over and over. And, you know, there's schools in Southwest Wisconsin that have requested relief for 10 years or more. You know, the cycle of 2 year realignment, I think, is an outstanding way to go about it. And, you know, if you don't like it, you'll very soon have an opportunity to try to make a change. And the other part of it that I like, because it has been such a headache for the WIA to deal with all the requests, is schools have to provide a reason why. Give us a rationale why you think that you should change. And, you know, you talk to the WIA, and it's kind of a harsh way to put it, but I think it's the right way to put it. Losing isn't a good enough rationale. You have to have a reason. You know, your enrollment's changed. Your enrollment is different. Different things like that. It's not just we're losing, because some of these programs sometimes that want relief and don't get it and continue to make some noise about it. At the end of the day, you just got to get better, right?
Right.
And so the aspect of having rationale behind what you want, and also providing options of what you think are better, I think is a really good part of what this proposal is looking at.
We are talking to Travis Wilson from WISSports.net. Travis, when Doug talked about how the WFCA and WIAA are working kind of together so there's no surprises on some of this, I found that really refreshing. You know, I think there's a lot of places all over our country now that could learn a lesson from this. Instead of fighting, you know, if you guys are working together for a common goal, I think that's the best way that this can get done.
Yeah, and, you know, it has been certainly a partnership between the WFCA and the WIAA. You know, at times in the last few years, there's been, some frustrations on the part of the football coaches and, you know, wanting some things to get through that they didn't get through. But this process has really, I think, re-engaged that relationship between the WFCA and the WIAA. It was never bad. It was never, you know, not in a good place. But this has really strengthened that relationship. Wade Lebecki has been outstanding to work with through the entire process. And I think it just, not only for this particular plan, but for just everything going forward, I think it really sets a good tone moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, being a part of that process, being a part of the WIAA football advisory for a number of years, you know, we've gotten to the point where we kind of ask the WIAA about some things we want to do, because if we get the feel that they're just not interested, we really don't pursue it. And, again, I said it before, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but the WIAA has a lot to gain by this. This takes a lot off of their plate. It takes a lot off of, you know, a real hassle and a headache for them has been conference realignment because of football. So there certainly is something on their part that they're gaining from this as well.
Can I ask a question? When you have schools like a Brookfield Central and Brookfield East, we're not going to mess around with that kind of rivalry game, right? I mean, they're close enough to each other. You wouldn't want to take away that Brookfield Central, Brookfield East type game.
No, not at all. But, you know, in the past, there has been conference realignment where that has happened. When say, I don't know, Cudahy and South Milwaukee were put into different conferences way back when. You know, that certainly put that into jeopardy.
Right.
Now, of course, they're back in the same conference and they're playing each other again. But some of that conference realignment through the years has eliminated rivalry games.
Hey, let's get to a break if we can. The other side of the break, We had Travis on to talk about combine, the combine, and some players that really helped themselves. And I got off in a different direction, so I appreciate you guys doing that. But let's get you a break. Other side of the break, we'll wrap the show up and talk to Travis Wilson about the combine updates and who helped themselves by attending the combine, stuff like that. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle, head football coach at Milwaukee Tech. We're joined by Travis Wilson with Sports.net. And we want to just kind of finish the show, Travis, talking a little bit about the combine, some of the players who really helped them from attending the combine, stuff like that. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend this year. I had a death in the family and had a funeral that day, but everything went very well. Yep. Arnett and his staff at Next Level did a great job. John D'Amato and the Sussex staff, all the high school coaches that were there. Of course, the biggest credit goes to Tony Biolo, who was the driving force behind re-implementing the combine and is the director of the combine every year. So everything went off without a hitch. But, you know, reviewing some of the times and talking to coaches that were in attendance, there were some guys that really did help themselves. One kid that really stood out was Jackson Collett from Sussex Hamilton. He was a kid that missed a lot of time last year. But I tell you what, he showed awful well in a lot of the drills. He measured in at 6'2", 227 pounds. He's a kid that'll play a little bit of running back for Sussex Hamilton, but really more of a linebacker prospect at the next level. He had a huge day. Darius Crowley Reed from Martin Luther ran really well. Tyler Jurassic from Mauston. So some guys really performed well. There was one offer that was extended in the immediate aftermath of the combine. That was Jacob Lippe, an offensive lineman from Port Washington, got an offer from North Dakota, who was in attendance. Lippe's from Whitefish Bay.
Whitefish Bay, yes.
Yep. I always get him confused with Jacob Lippe, who's the receiver, defensive back from Port Washington. but those are some guys that really stood out. Ben Barton from Stratford is a 2020 player that measured 6'6 and a half, 236 pounds. And actually got offered by Iowa just a couple weeks ago. Now, Iowa wasn't in attendance there based on NCAA rules. But so those are a few of the guys that kind of really made a name for themselves. Matt Wettig from Beloit Memorial showed really well. There was just a really good group of kids this year. Unfortunately, because of a scheduling conflict, we had to have the event a week earlier than normal this year, and it put us up against some of the spring games for some of the colleges. And there was a lot of guys that signed up for the combine, some top-level guys that got invited to some of those spring games and unfortunately had to cancel the combine and go to some of those spring games. But a really, really good group once again. I mean, there will be at least a dozen Division I players between all of the different classes that were there at the event. And just another outstanding event by the WFCA, really grown, obviously, over the years. Another almost 600 kids participated. So it was a heck of a day.
Hey guys, looking at the quarterbacks that came, there were some names that I didn't see on that list, and I'm wondering, do we get when you're a quarterback, like a Drew Leshinsky from Brookfield Central? Do you go to these combines, or do you go to more like the Badger camp and stuff like that? So I thought as far as quarterbacks, there was a couple names that I didn't see.
Well, in terms of Drew, he's also a heck of a baseball player, and he plays for a traveling team, and Drew has not been able to attend. My understanding is, and I know his dad played for me at Dominican. He's got a lot of baseball commitments too in the spring, and it just was.
I think his dad was overrated a little bit.
Oh,
but I think Paul was. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, but but anyway, I think in his instance, there's his baseball commitments with his traveling team in the spring as well. So, but I'm not aware that quarterbacks are avoiding the combine. Are you, Travis?
No, we've had a lot of really top-level quarterbacks that have gone there over the years. I think last year, Alec Ogden was there from Monona Grove, Donovan Free from Marathon. We've had some really, really good quarterbacks that have gone on to scholarship-level programs, Division II, et cetera. So it really is a good opportunity for them, especially with the throwing.
Yeah, you bet.
With Jeff Trickey, that's really a great opportunity for those kids to throw in front of all those college coaches that are sticking around.
Boy, that's awesome. You know, it was fun to be out there. We do our show from out there, and man, the amount of kids, I was kind of taken back, the amount of offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and then the running backs and the linebackers that come in. Yeah, I kind of forget each year how overwhelming it is. We sit in that corner, yeah, and these guys just walk past us. And, man, size of some of these kids is ridiculous.
Yeah, those linemen were big this year.
They were big, and John D'Amato was there going, look, can I just get five of them? Can I just pick the five I want, and we can be competitive in a pretty good conference? Hey, Travis, this time of year, I know that when we were talking with Matt Walker from UW River Falls, he said, look, it just never ends this time of year. How about for you? Do you get a chance to get a little time off before August?
Yeah, a little bit of a lull. Finishing up some spring football rankings, some team rankings in early June, and then, kind of get to take it easy a little bit. Still a lot going on. And then, second week in July really fires up big time. I start working on player rankings at that time, releasing them on WSN. And then the next thing you know, it's conference previews, and the season's here. So, two or three weeks to take a little bit of a breath, and then it's crazy again.
Travis, you should probably preseason predict Tech winning everything, and just put that monkey right on Swindle's back. Just they're going to win the city conference, going to get the state, all that stuff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Coach Swindle's survey. There's some coaches that. They pick themselves first every year, even if they went 0-9 the year before. And then there's some coaches that pick themselves last, even if they went undefeated and returned 20 starters. So I'll have to keep an eye out for coaches and see how he does it.
Which one has Swindle been over the years?
Well, I'm always very honest.
You are?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing to gain trying to fool somebody. But if I think we're good, I let people know we're going to be good. If we're not, I'm not going to say we are.
Not saying a word.
Yeah.
The idea of being out of it for a couple of years, I got to tell you, Travis, it's fun to – Swindle's got that look in his eye again, kind of that, he's ready to get after it and get going again, and I look forward to seeing how they do. I think there's some really good football going to be played in Southeast Wisconsin this year. There's some teams that I'm excited that had good years last year and had a lot of players coming back, and I'm looking forward to seeing how some of those teams how they come back and get after it again. It's so early, though. It's the end of July is when you guys get going again, and it just seems like it's earlier and earlier every year.
Well, this year it is. You're talking an August 1st start date. It should be, if they hadn't changed some things around, it would have been a July 30th start date this year.
Man.
So, Travis, I wanted to ask you, how many different camps will you attend this summer as just to observe? I know I used to work the Badger camp, and I'd look up in the stands, and there you were always evaluating players. How many camps will you get to this summer?
Honestly, probably not that many. I try to get to some of the contact days when teams get together for that. I have gone to the Badger camp in the past. With huddle and things like that, it becomes much easier to evaluate different kids. But I'm still out a ton. The combine usually, contact days, preseason practices, scrimmages, take in, 30 games a year, and then review all the film. I put a good amount of time into it because I try to take pride in what I'm doing. And, it's an inexact science, ranking players and ranking teams, but if I'm going to do it, I want to try to do it the best I can.
Well, we don't think anybody does it better. So, Travis, thank you for your time. Get a little time off because end of July is coming really quick, man. It's coming quick. So thank you so much for a couple minutes.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Travis.
You got it. That's Travis Wilson with sports.net. Go to that website. It's like a Bible for some of us. What Mark Miller does in basketball is what Travis does for you football guys, and it just it's second to none.
Right.
It really is. They do a good job. What? How often you guys lifting now at Tech?
We go 5 days a week.
Early?
No. Well, we go at from 12:30 to 2:30.
Okay.
3 days lifting and 3 days other kinds of things, skill
sure.
developments and so on.
Well, it's awesome. Hey, it's good to see you. I will. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
You bet.
You know, good luck. Keep
Thank
up
you.
The good work down there.
You Thank
bet. You. Thanks for listening. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.